Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today, let's swing over to Scotland to start off the show. Bit of sad news. One of their favorite fighters, Willie Lamond, has died, passed away. He's a former British and Commonwealth champ. And I'll have a bit more towards the end of the episode on his lifetimes and some of the things that he had to say. Anyway, as we work towards the Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia show, did I say Garcia? Ryan Garcia show coming up in a few days. As we work up towards that, we've got some other results and predictions to talk about. We're going to start off the entire show, though, by going through what has just recently happened. Someone who we've been keeping our eyes on for a very, very long time here on Talk and Fight. Jared Anderson, he continues to be unbeaten. He's now WBO number 4, WBC number 5 heavyweight. And he scored, quite frankly, an easy 10-round unanimous decision over former cruiserweight champion turned heavyweight, Riyad Mahr. He's now 32-3. And that took place at the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas. Quite frankly, there were spectators booing throughout that bout. So not exactly what we expected. We thought perhaps Anderson might knock out Mahr, but Mahr decided to dance around the ring and do a good job of evading punches, I suppose. But those that landed counted. And as I say, Anderson went on to become still undefeated and on his way to fight. Who we shall see him fight next is a good question. But there is a really good story by Sadiq Ahmed over on Yardbarker. Who will he predict that Jared Anderson fights next? He's taken a look at maybe the loser of the Frank Sanchez and Ajit Kabayal fight, because Anderson has spoken a lot about getting a fight over. So who wouldn't want to collect a few mil for that? But he wants to go fight over in Saudi Arabia. So he's got to be a name to be reckoned with, quite frankly. And he's got to move up the ranks and then a bit fancier detail than what he's been doing of late. Let's have a quick look here. So Sanchez 24-0, Kabayal 24-0. And the winner of that fight really is the it's a WBC eliminatory fight. So the winner moves on to next in line to challenge for the heavyweight title in the WBC rankings. Whether that be Tyson Fury or Alexander Usyk, who knows? But they obviously, either Sanchez or Kabayal would not have any interest in facing Anderson at this particular time. But the loser might. In order to remain top five. And it also provided the American Anderson with an opponent who really should challenge him much more than Mahr he did. But anyway, another good fighter, Otto Wallin. He's 26-2. And has only lost to the best in the division and will represent a step up in class for Anderson. And a win over the Swede would further establish Anderson at heavyweight, while also helping to develop his skills, quite frankly. Top Rank have worked with Wallin in the past, and such a bout would give fight fans a better idea of Anderson's ceiling. And finally, for American fans of boxing, in a fight that would pit Michigan against Ohio, a very interesting rivalry, but I don't know if it really happens in the boxing world. But anyway, Jermaine Franklin, 22-2, 14 knockouts, might be worth considering. Falling back-to-back losses to Anthony Joshua and Dillian White, Franklin returned to the win column last year in July. Though he may have been out of the ring since then, he's still ranked with the IBF and WBO. And though this might be the right kind of fight that takes place in Saudi Arabia, and don't think it will, it could be one of those that headlines another Top Rank on ESPN card. So let's see what's in store for one of our favorites here on Talk and Fight, Jared Anderson. Also on that card, we saw Efe Ajagba, 20-1, 14 knockouts. He won a 10-round split decision over Guido the Gladiator Vianello, who's down 12-2-1 with 10 knockouts of his own to speak of. It's notable that Vianello rocked Ajagba in round number 2. In fact, Efe walked back to the wrong corner, but then Ajagba took over when Vianello showed signs of slowing down in the middle rounds. And although Vianello closed strong, it's a little too late. So his scores were 96-94, 96-94, 96-94, with only one card for Vianello. So Decent fight by all accounts, but nonetheless, Jagba continues his rocking and rolling up the ranks, I hope. He's a good fighter and a favorite of mine. 2016 Olympic gold medalist and three-time world title challenger, Robson Concheso. We mentioned him last week, if you might recall. He's now 18-2-1, scored a seventh round bruising knockout over Jose Godardo. He's now 15-2-1. It was a junior lightweight bout. Concheso dropped Godardo twice in body shots in the seventh round. And the referee had to stop the fight. Another impressive performance for the unbeaten blue chip lightweight, Abdullah Mason, 13-0 now. You might recall our own Mike Orr talking about him on his show. He got a fourth round decision against Ron, who's now 14-6. Mason dropped Ron in rounds 1 and 3, then finished him off with a barrage of punches in the fourth. Time was 1 minute and 2 seconds. Another interesting name. Junior lightweight Alejandro Porkchop Guerrero, he's now 13-4, upset previously unbeaten and another favorite of Mike Gore's over on his show, Jalen Skywalker. He's now 12-1-1, and Guerrero dropped him that barrage of punches in round number 7. Walker was down earlier in the fight, and Walker's corner threw in the towel at 1 minute 35 seconds, as I said, of that seventh round. And in his pro debut, Team USA heavyweight Ali Feliz dropped and stopped Anthony Woodson the third. He was now 1-2 in round number 2 at the time of 1 minute and 16 seconds. So good stuff. And over in Manchester, let me have a quick look here. Yes, great fights in Manchester. We had the super featherweight battle, Zelpha Barrett stopping Jordan Gill in round number 10 on Saturday night at the AO Arena. As I said, in Manchester, Barrett broke a close fight when he dropped Gill twice with body shots in round number 10 and got the referee stoppage at 2 minutes 44 seconds. And that bout, by the way, was for the WBA international title. You might recall me talking about a couple of young ladies on that card. I will mention them. I'll mention all four of the names. In a clash for the vacant WBO female lightweight title, Rion Dixon. I believe she's a former pharmacist. She's now 10-0 with one knockout. She outpointed Karen Carabajal. She's now 22-2. That went 10 rounds. Dixon dropped Carabajal in round 3 en route to a 98-91, 97-92, 96-93 win. Good job for Dixon. Anyway, in an IBF WBO super bantamweight unification fight that figured to go the distance, Ellie Scottney, now 9-0, outpointed Sogoline Lefebvre from France, 18-1, over 10 rounds. Scores were 99-91, 97-93, 96-94. A good job by Ellie Scottney, by all accounts. Our good friend over in Japan, Joe Koizumi, he's reporting WBO number 5, Thanong Sak Simsri. He's 33-1, surprisingly captured the OPBF light flyweight belt from Filipino defending champ WBC number 12, Miel Fajardo. He's now 11-2-1. When he pounded out a unanimous decision over 12 hard-fought rounds in Osaka, Japan. So that was a good battle by all accounts as well. In another fight Joe's reporting on, Japanese version of Fundora 5'11 super bantam Toshiki Shimomachi, 18-1-3, 12 knockouts, impressively kept his national 122-pound belt when he dropped Japan's boxing council number 1, Tulio Takanarudo, three times and scored a fine technical knockout victory at 1 minute 7 seconds of the fifth round in a scheduled 10 rounder, again taking place in Osaka. See if there's anything else. Oh, one more fight. I did want to mention this one because we rarely get over to see what's happening in Europe. I don't know why. Very little is reported in the media on these fights, but I will report it here. In a clash of unbeaten heavyweights for the vacant European title, Oleksandr Zhukovsky, 19-0 out of the Ukraine, demolished German favorite Granit Xhala, who's now 15-1 in the second round on Saturday night at the AGON Sport Park in Berlin, Germany. Zhukovsky dropped Shawla in round number two, then blasted him to the canvas again to end it at 2:25. Wow, what a demolishing that must have been. Former WBC flyweight champ Charlie Edwards, 19-1, claimed the vacant WBC International Silver Bantamweight title with a one-sided 10-round unanimous decision over George Ori on Friday night at York Hall. It took place in London, England. Thought I'd quickly mention that. Edwards is the brother of Sonny Edwards, former IBF fly champ, and he was working over in Charlie's corner, by the way. So some good fighting, some good results, and we look forward to seeing what's up and coming. Let's see what is up and coming. You know what is up and coming? Something that might not be up and coming. we've talked often about Terrence Crawford, and now his coach Bernie Davis said Bud will fight Jaron Boots Ennis at 147 or 154 if promoter Eddie Hearn can raise the money to make it happen. I highly doubt that Eddie Hearn is going to be able to afford I would offer in the range of 10 to 15 million bucks, which seems to be the number that is being thrown around by Bernie. So Crawford, as you know, he's 40-0, 31 knockouts, and Boots Ennis, he's 31-0, 28 knockouts. Both, excellent fighters, without a doubt. It'd be a great fight. But here's the problem, quite frankly, as we all know, the Saudis could come up with that kind of money. But would they be interested in staging this level of fight? When I say level, in terms of weight division, the Saudis tend to seem to like the heavier weight classes, and therefore Bud and Boots might be considered too small, frankly. Now, therefore, would Hearn's Matchroom Boxing likely be willing to put up that kind of money on a largely unproven Crawford, who's only been involved in one pay-per-view fight that did big numbers against Errol Spence? Many fans feel Spence was the reason for the success of that event, by the way, not Crawford. So Hearn might not want to pay Crawford a tremendous amount of money unless he proves himself as a pay-per-view draw against another fighter without Spence being the one that attracts buys. As we all know, Terrence is a really good fighter, but he's not done a great job marketing his fights. The way that some fighters are, like Ryan Garcia of note lately, and the now, I would say, on the downslide, Keith Thurman. Crawford's past pay-per-view fights by the numbers: Errol Spence and Crawford, $700,000 on Showtime. Crawford versus Sean Porter. When I saw this number, it shocked me. I thought it'd be a lot higher, but it was only $135,000. That was on ESPN. Remember Crawford versus Amir Khan, $150,000 on ESPN. And then Crawford versus Victor Postol, only $50,000 on HBO. So according to Bernie Davis, he said, let's go. We'll catch a title at 154. Then he comes up to 154 because they're going to pay. So as I've just said, I don't know if they will or not. But says Bernie, I think if they come up with the money for him to fight Boots, he'll go to fight, especially at 154. The guy is huge. He's a big guy. If they want it at 147, they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to make it worth the kid's while. He's talking about Bud Crawford. We definitely ain't scared. You might not be scared, but, you might have, anyway, something else to worry about. That is the amount of money that you're asking. Anyway, he goes, I'm glad he speaks English well. I don't see no effort on this kid's part to try and make the fight. If he, Hearn, can come up with the money, then he can probably get Crawford to fight. He's the number one contender. He beat a champion, but let's see how he do in these fights. Let's see how he progresses in these fights. What the heck? Anyway, onwards and upwards. Let's talk about Bob Arum for a sec. Bob Arum, as you know, used to promote Terrence Crawford and I think released him because, quite frankly, Crawford would not promote his fights. And I think Bob Arum was losing money. Anyway, very recently, Bob Arum took time to speak to the media on a number of different topics. And this is what the top rank boss had to say with respect to Lomachenko coming up short in big fights. As of late, he said, Loma is, I believe, still a great fighter, said Arum. His fight with Haney, I was watching that fight and I liked Devin. He's a great fighter, but I thought Loma won that fight. But again, judges decided otherwise and you have to respect the judge's decision. The plan to have Lomachenko versus Kambosos winner face Shakur Stevenson. He said, well, Shakur is fighting on July 6th in New Jersey. We'll announce the opponent relatively shortly. We've got a great run with Shakur. He's an incredible fighter with incredible skills, but our contract is over with the July 6th fight. Hopefully, we'll maintain a relationship with Shakur and continue that, but he's a free agent after the July 6th fight, so we'll see how that all plays out. For me, to watch a Lomachenko versus Shakur fight, because I'm a boxing freak, I love boxing. I would love to see such a treat, to see such skilled guys go like that at each other. But again, that's in the future. Loma has a tough fight with Kambosos, and the opponent, the guys tell me in the office, who they've selected for Shakur. He's a really good fighter. So after July 6th, we'll take a look, and we'll see whether we can do a unification fight. Now, speaking of Japan and our friend Joe, who reports to us from Tokyo, Bob was asked about Naoya Inoue, and he said, it's scary what I'm seeing, said Bob. He so overwhelms his opponents, really good opponents. I've never seen a fighter of that size perform the way he has. Maybe Salvador Sanchez had that ability, but even then, he didn't win all his fights by knockout. In a way, goes into those fights, he boxes those guys, and then he knocks them out. What we're seeing in Inoue is something really special. It's as special for boxing as Otani is for baseball. Wow. So finally, just a quick note on the Scottish boxer, Willie LeMond. He won a fight back in 2007, you might recall it, when he decked Amir Khan. Khan came back to win the thrill in the eighth round. LeMond also boxed Mexican legend Morales, you might recall that, in 2010, 14 years ago, but still legendary among Scottish boxing fans without doubt, because he went on to win the European Union title at Super Feather and also the Commonwealth lightweight title and WBU lightweight title. And he also was winning the British title at light welterweight. And ended his fighting career with a 42-6 pro record. And certainly at such a young age, 45, found by the police in his car after suffering, either a stroke or some kind of episode, unfortunately passed away. Anyway, announcing this is sad news indeed, but I did want to just do a little bit of a flashback for boxing fans, because he had announced his retirement after fighting Ricky Burns, a veteran fighter, is a good scrap, but nonetheless, he said he had had a U-turn, and he told the media how he had changed his eating and drinking habits. He explained further. He said, after I lost to Ricky, I changed my diet, and the results have been a pleasant surprise. For well over 20 years prior to that, I didn't have a full night's rest. I was getting on three hours sleep night at best. However, ever since I made the changes, things have been so much better. I cut out sugar and processed food, but now I sleep 6 hours every day. I wake up feeling as energetic as a Duracell bunny. However, of late, unfortunately, he has passed away. So he's... Anyway, had a fantastic career, and we wish him and his family the best. What can you say? Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it very much here on Talk and Fight. Boxing is not a game. Remember, like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. I'm going to see you again here on Talk and Fight, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and join me anytime, quite frankly, on the Talk and Fight website, talkandfight.com. Remember, like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.